For joining us this evening, we've got five of our commissioners this evening. Commissioner Starks has asked to be excused. He's up at the legislature presenting to the House on something this evening. Staff, thank you for being present, and those that have joined us in the auditorium and online, we appreciate your participation, both as applicants and as citizens that have come to comment this evening. We appreciate any involvement that we can get. That helps us in gathering information and making better decisions. So this evening, our first item is to approve our agenda as published. Can I get a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes from our previous meeting as published.
You're doing the agenda.
Let's start with the agenda.
Oh, sorry, the agenda as published.
Okay. All right, thank you. We have a motion to approve our agenda as published. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Any opposed?
I was trying to really move the meeting.
I know.
He wants out of here. Okay. So that passes. Our second item is to approve our minutes from the January 10th Planning Commission meeting. Do I have a motion or any discussion on that?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes as published, if there are no corrections.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? Okay. Then I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay. Staff, any business for us this evening?
I don't think I do have anything.
Okay. Planning Commission, Ms. Bevins responded to me since I've checked my email about some additional items that we could potentially forward to staff for that joint session in March. If you've got anything, why don't you get them to me by Friday? I'll compile them and get them to, is it Mr. Schaefermeyer? Okay. And then I also forwarded a schedule for attending and representing the Planning Commission at City Council meetings. I don't feel like that needs to fill up a year in advance. Let's just take that a couple months at a time, and I think we're good for now.
I just filled it out for the whole year.
Oh, Trevor's on it. Okay.
Bonus points for Trevor.
Just because sometimes schedules change,
yeah.
But we appreciate that. I obviously haven't looked at it since you got to it. So, all right, thank you for that. Ms. Bevins, along those lines, do you have an update for us?
Yep. So the City Council meeting this past week, they discussed RISE development that got delayed after we approved it. They did make some changes based on Planning Commission's comments. They shifted the road 2.5 feet to the south in an attempt to preserve those large trees and to move it further away from that home that was sitting right next to that property line. They adjusted the shape of the single-family lot and made it larger to make it a little bit more away from the single-family homes. They added 5 more parking stalls to bring the total, I believe, to 4 per unit. They removed a sidewalk on the southernmost road, but said there was still plenty. I don't think that was a comment from us, but they did do that. The developer did not change the fencing from vinyl. He left it in there as vinyl. And the pickleball courts changed a little bit. It's now going to be done through a donation to the city to handle completely, which will be within 90 days of approval of the development agreement. They did a full traffic study in the area. And then when the council was going to do their motion, they gave instruction to that small piece of road that went right next to the single-family home down into the multi-development. They were discussing whether to narrow that road to make it a little more difficult to park on. They discussed putting no parking signs, and so I think staff was given the direction to see what they could do there. And then they did change it and require the developer to put in the masonry wall. So that was the only change. It was approved. Councilman McGuire voted no, but he was the only one. The other thing, there wasn't anything else really that pertained to us, but there was an interesting thing that Councilman McGuire talked about that hopefully people in the room will appreciate that I found really interesting. Apparently the rec department has a program where they run family rec nights. And if staff knows anything about this and I'm wrong, please correct me. But they said it's like every 6 weeks, you can go on the city rec registration site and sign up for a family recreation night. They just recently did archery over at Mulligan's. So that's something really cool to go and take advantage of with your family if you're interested in that. And that was it.
Okay, thank you very much. Commissioners, any other business this evening? All right, then let's get to it. Under our administrative public hearings, we have one item, and that is the Silverstone Automation site plan. And Greg has our staff report this evening.
All right, thank you. This application for Silverstone Automation has come to the Planning Commission before, back in August of 2020, I believe. And it was approved. And then they also, in 2021, they were granted a one-year extension for this. But because of the applicant, as well as because of COVID and other related issues, construction on the building hasn't taken place, never took place within that 1 year. So they have the application has expired, the approval expired, and they're back before you tonight with pretty much, I think it's almost exactly the same thing that was approved before. I think there's minor differences and changes. I might miss one or something, but I'll move on to the site plan. The location of the building on the site is exactly the same as it was. Nothing's changed on that. The landscaping, I think they moved a couple of trees in different places. So I'm not sure which ones they moved, but they're still the same amount, just moved them to a different site, different spot on the site. The building itself has the same materials, and I think I have the materials board is up at in the DS there that can be passed down. And I think the one change is to the rear of the building. There were four doors, and now they're proposing just two doors, two roll-up doors on the back. Otherwise, I believe all the other elevations remain the same. So with that, staff has reviewed it for, and nothing else has changed. The amount of parking spaces have not changed. So seeing that there's really very little that's changed on it, staff is again recommending approval of the application.
What is the building at its highest point? What elevation?
I can't read it on the plans here, but there is not a height limitation in that zone. So.
Oh, okay. Commissioners, questions for staff? Is the applicant present this evening?
I think so, yes.
Do you have anything to add to the staff report at this time? Would you mind coming up and telling us just a little bit about this site and what you are doing there?
I'm Ryan Berry with MHT and Architects, representing Silverstone Automation, or Holdings 10 is their entity name for this construction. So what questions do you have? I'm happy to answer.
Just tell us a little bit about your customer base and who you serve. It says that you are primarily medical, but...
Sure. So Silverstone Automation, they are engineers who develop automated machines for companies like Merit Medical here in South Jordan, or BD Medical in Sandy City. So that's their main business, is designing and building robotic machines for high-tech manufacturing. And so they're moving their operations from Harriman, I think?
Bluffdale
to South Jordan City in this new location. And this is an owner-operated building, so they'll be the tenant there for years, hopefully.
Do you know how many people will be employed at this site?
Do you have about 11 employees?
Commissioners, any questions?
Yeah, thank you. Just generally, because I live directly across the golf course from this, sure. And I could hear the front runner station to the bell ring. Mm-hmm. What are the hours of operation? What kind of noise is emitted from the building?
So typical business hours, 7 to 5, not a noisy process. Most of what they do is very small amounts of machining. They're mostly just assembling kits of parts that are manufactured by subcontractors.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
So at this time, we're going to open the meeting to public comment. If you join us this evening and would like to address the commission on this issue, we'll invite you to come up to the podium. We ask that you please state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you'll have 3 minutes to address the commission. We'll do that both for those who are attending in person as well as online. If you're online, we just ask that you please turn on your camera and your audio so that we can see and hear who's addressing us. Is there anyone that would like to address the commission on this item tonight in the auditorium? Do we have anybody on our Zoom platform? So again, if you would like to address the commission and you've joined us online, we just ask that you turn on your camera. You can give us a physical wave and I will give you the floor. Okay, I don't see anybody wanting to address the commission on this item, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, do we have further questions or discussion that needs to happen on this item? Okay.
I have an answer to your other question, finally.
Great.
Squinted really hard and got it off the paper copy. It's 32 feet is the highest point.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
I move that based on the staff report and this evening's discussion, I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve application PLSPR 2022-00232 to allow for construction of a new commercial building on property located at 10096 South Jordan Gateway.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, then I will second that motion and ask Ms. Valdez for a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Gedge.
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bivens?
Yes.
Okay. This item passes 5-0. I would like to thank you for coming this evening to participate in this for a second time. We always appreciate having the applicant present in case questions come up, and we wish you luck as you move forward. We're glad that economic conditions have allowed you to move forward at this time, and we welcome you to our community. All right, we have one item under legislative public hearings this evening. So just as a note to the audience, when an item is under legislative, we are not the final body to hear this. We will pass on a recommendation to City Council who will make the final decision. So the one item that we have this evening is D&D Residential Hatch Subdivision, and Andrew has our staff report.
Thank you, Commissioners. This application, it involves both a land use amendment and a rezone ordinance, which we'll cover on this. What's going on before you is we're over just south of the Rise development at the end of 1055 West. D&D Residential owns the highlighted properties before you that are involved with this application. We have one large parcel on the west side of 1055 and two smaller ones on the east side. Going into the land use amendment first, this is going to be subject to the two properties that are on the east side of 1055 East. Right now, it's designated as an economic infill opportunity, which just came as a minor oversight when the graphics were being done in our 2020 general plan update. So this application will move to correct that and make it more consistent with the adjacent uses taking place currently and what's outlined in the general plan.
Can I pause you really quick? What do you mean it was an oversight? It looks like it's between those two types of uses.
Yes, the economic infill opportunity is only for what Roseman University owns to the east side of the canal, which serves as basically the dividing line between this area and the professional office river park that we have.
So this land is not owned by that
Correct.
Owner?
It's a okay. separate private owner. It's the same applicant that we have tonight, D&D Residential. It was...
And they own both east and west of 1055.
No, the D&D only owns these two pieces of property. Roseman University owns everything east of the canal that is within the EIO land designation.
Okay. Is it the same landowner for both of these pieces that you just showed us on the previous slide, east and west of 1055 West?
Correct, those three parcels. Since the access to these two parcels is only off of 1055 West, and it would be more consistent and makes more sense to adjust that with this application, why we need to do the rezone. The rezone portion of it involves all three pieces involved. The larger piece to the west side is currently A5, which means that you have to have the 5-acre minimum on that case, and it's only around an acre in size. And the two on the east side
are kind of split between three different zones of A1, A5, and professional office. Currently, right now, the smaller piece on the south and then the larger piece on the west side are vacant. On the east side, what you see mostly zoned is A1, currently a single-family residential existing home. And right now, there is a deal pending the outcome of this application that these two lots would be sold, and then they'd be individually redeveloped into newer single-family homes. On the west side, the parcel is adjacent to three other parcels that are already zoned R1.8, owned by the same owner, D&D Residential. The rezone is to make it more consistent with those and so that they could continue with their intended plan, with the concept plan following to develop that into a small six-lot subdivision where we meet density requirements of the R1.8 zone. We exceed the minimum lot requirements in an R1.8 required to be at least a third of an acre. Four of the six are just over half an acre, and the two larger ones are closer to 0.8 and stays within public right-of-way and dedication. And upon review, we find that what's being proposed is consistent with the general plan and along with what would be required of city code, and that, in the end, staff, based upon those findings, recommends that the commission forward a positive recommendation to council on these two items.
So staying on this slide, is this what it will be or potentially what it could be?
This is what you would see as a layout in the preliminary subdivision application is what we're working with the applicant and engineering department, what we've come to on a concept of what would be.
So I don't know if this question is for you or for Jeremy, but what I'm seeing is unusual. Why? It feels like a big enough piece of land that something more standard could have been done with the roads and the access.
Are you referring to the park strip, the curb adjacent sidewalk, or what?
The private lane, the fun little... is that because it's an existing private lane?
No. No, the private lane, we have private lanes similar to this in Daybreak. It's got a hammerhead that could be accessible with a fire truck. I didn't think that was out of the ordinary, so you're catching me off guard on that one.
What is the dark black line? Is that an existing fence that will stay up? It cuts through the property and goes right up to that private lane?
Let's confirm with the applicant, but I believe that's a proposed retaining wall.
Okay.
And keep in mind, this isn't a site plan application. This is rezone, but a concept that they're proposing.
Okay. Is six lots the maximum that they can have with the zoning that they've requested, or could they potentially come back with something that shows 10?
10 would be... with the size of the lots being more than the minimum.
Let me rephrase. With this piece of land and the zoning they've requested, the 1.8, how many lots would they be allowed up to on this piece?
They could probably fit in one or two more if they reduced the size of the lots.
Okay.
Any more than that, I would, without having the exact numbers in front of me on additional lots, would be pushing it into higher density.
Is the rezone that has been requested such that the two lots across 1055 from it are included in that and could weigh into how many lots fit on this piece? Meaning if the lots on the east side remain how they are, the two lots, and remain the sizes that they are, do they contribute to the ability to go smaller on lots on these lots?
If you use the six that would be created from this side and the two on the east side of 1055, we would still be within density requirements, but the subdivision that this concept plan is showing is just the six, and then that would be a thing of its own. The two on the east side would remain their own lots as they are, no changes, and then developed as housing, not part of a subdivision.
I'm just trying to make sure I understand what the rezone entitles them up to.
That would allow them to turn...
We sometimes see plans that aren't the final as a concept, and then they come back later and go, well, we're actually allowed this many lots because the zoning was this.
The property that they own adjacent to this south of this piece, these three R1.8 pieces, the concept plan is all four of these put together, not just the one in question, so it allows them to go smaller on the lot size, but the applicant is understanding of the character of the area and felt that six, in coordination with engineering in the discussions to develop the concept plan, that would be more appropriate.
Maybe I can answer a little bit more. Any property that's zoned down in the R1.8, if the rezone happens and they zone these three properties to R1.8, there are already two that are already zoned R1.8. They could file for a subdivision that would include all of them, and then of course density is based on it's a gross density, so it would count the road, everything in between, and on the development, and it'd be all one subdivision. I understand right now they're not considering changing the two lots on the east side at all. From what I've heard, and Andrew's told me that they have a buyer or somebody who's going to buy those lots and keep them exactly the same, and just build new homes on them. If the property to the north of this got rezoned to R1.8, and then there's other properties further north, they could do a subdivision, include all the R1.8 properties in all in one subdivision, and count that all. And they could still can't exceed the 1.8 units per acre, but they could still have smaller lots.
And the smallest lot allowed in this zone is what?
Is 1/3 of an acre.
1/3. But the average is about 0.5.
Yes, the average is about 0.5 with it, but they could have some that are 1/3. And then this concept plan, again, is a concept that's required to go with any rezoning, and that is subject to change as well. I mean, it's the council generally doesn't hold anybody to this. Unless there's a special development agreement or something that they agree to, that they'll build exactly this. And that's the only way that
can. We're asked for rezones so rarely, I wanted to make sure I understood.
Yeah.
And
staff feels, the R1.8 zone is exactly the zone. It's probably the highest density zone that would be allowed with the land use that's already on there. The agricultural preservation zone would not allow an R25 zone or an R3 or anything like that. So that's why it would allow the ag zones and the R1.8, because it's considered the rural residential zone. So.
Thank you.
Questions? I have a question. So this, I could be way wrong about this, but this concept plan, can we go back to the one just before this? So this concept plan includes the subject property and the two properties to the south of it.
Yes.
So it's not just this. That includes basically three.
Correct.
Parcels.
The one that you see is a darker green, and there's a tiny, small sliver to the west of that. That's also part of it.
Okay. And
then those two.
Those two.
So it's all
okay.
Those.
Do we know what's the total acreage of all of those put together?
Well, it says on the report the total is 3.31 acres.
That's got to be just the properties, though, on the...
I think that's only the properties that are being rezoned.
Or west side, right?
So if we add the two, add the other two of the south, I don't know if they don't have a map that I can
just under five acres.
Because this one
all
that we're looking
parcels.
At is two.
Roughly.
And then those other bring it up to just under five?
Just these four on the west side. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So if it's around five times 1.8, you're looking at
nine lots?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the max that could go on there.
Okay.
But that includes the other side in that scenario, and they've already got two over there, so.
And if they were bigger, then you could come over here
seven.
And.
Yeah.
Questions?
No.
Questions?
Just a quick question on the subdivision. So, Greg, you mentioned that, and I guess we haven't confronted this before, but a property owner it would have to be, I think, just a owner could subdivide property they own in a variety of ways, right? They can apply for it. And so I guess what I'm saying is, if they did, as you talked about before, where they brought them all together and did a 1.8, someone else could come by and reconfigure the subdivision. You still have to stay within the zone, but someone else can reconfigure the subdivision as long as it not built out.
If the current property owners decide not to develop, they could sell it to somebody else to develop, and they come up with a different plan. Okay. But and all the constraints they have is what the zone allows, 1.8 units per acre. So,
okay, and then we see that sometimes in Daybreak where they're adjusting subdivision lines. And,
in Daybreak, they're not as limited by density as they. And so, because they're not limited by density in Daybreak, they're limited by number of total units in the entire project. So, yeah. And there's not really a minimum lot size in Daybreak either. So,
right, but we do see them adjust the lot size from time.
Yeah, sometimes they'll get a plat approved, and then they'll come back and amend the plat for whatever reason. I haven't seen too many times where they add lots, but they do move the lot lines to accommodate what's being built on them.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, I got a few. Sorry. And a lot of these will be if we do recommend approval and City Council, of course, adopts this as a rezone. But because 1055, I know we've changed the designation of the historic road or that whole conversation we had in 2022, that I believe other properties in this area, when we have approved them or they have been rezoned, that they would have to do full improvements of curb and gutter sidewalk along 1055 West, would that be correct if this were to be rezoned? That would be continuous, that it would have to be sidewalks and curb and gutter?
On 1055?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that they're going to be required to put in the required sidewalks, curb gutters. I'm not sure how is this up to the city engineer about whether there's going to be curb-adjacent sidewalks or they're going to have park strips, but that'll be...
Okay.
But they will have to make improvements as they develop.
Great. And then I believe the proper. So if you go back to the previous map, which shows the overall on the east side and then the north property, the A5. I know the rise development's just slightly north of that, which we talked about before, that we just have reviewed. But I believe there's agricultural rights. Would they be of course, if it was to be rezoned, they would be required to put in a appropriate type of fencing to protect the current agricultural rights of that property owner, correct?
I guess the way that works, if the rights of the property, animal rights, if it's if the lots in this new subdivision are zoned for and are large enough to have large animals, there's no fencing required between them.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and the two on the east side appear probably to be half acre, which would have probably animal rights. And then the last one, kind of with that, water rights then as well. I believe there are some streams or downstream of canals. And so I'm assuming if this was to be rezoned to a R1-8 from an agricultural use, the existing water rights would be preserved and the developer would have to either pipe or make sure that that water flow is not interrupted. Is that correct?
That's usually the case. In
yes. Yeah, correct.
Okay. And then, of course, then the next step, we can enforce that on the site plan once that comes in. Okay. That's all I have on those.
Did Jeremy confirm that it will be a standard road, though? 1055 will be a standard width with sidewalks along this section?
That has not been confirmed yet. Yeah, there's not... with the recent change from the historic designation, we're going to start doing surveys and things and trying to figure out what the least impactful footprint is for a road down 1055. It's possible it's going to be curb adjacent sidewalk, you know, just to reduce the footprint of the road.
Any other questions? Is the applicant here this evening? Do you have anything you'd like to add to the staff report?
Hi, my name is Devin Hatch. I'm the owner of D&D. A couple things to add. You have some questions about the road and the reason why that private lane went up like that. That's a giant hill right there. We have to retain that hill, and to get access up there. The reason why that cul-de-sac stopped short is because of that steep hill, that plan. We kept lots that size, half acre, because we want to hang on to the animal rights in that area. So that's why they're larger. We don't plan on making them any smaller. We want it to be a nice, beautiful community with larger homes. We do plan on working with the city on the 1055 and improving that sidewalk, the curb and gutter along there. So it's going to really improve the flow and the feel of that road right now. I don't know if you've been down there. It's quite a mess. It's not much left of it. Looks like it was built by the pioneers. So other than that, I think we're pretty excited about this. This is going to be my personal home here. I'm going to live here. So
which lot?
The one up there on the right, the corner of that private lane that wraps around to the north, that one right there is going to be mine. So,
all right.
I'm excited to be part of the community here. So.
Okay. Thank you. All right. At this time, we're going to open up the floor to public comment. We'll start in our auditorium. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this issue, we'll invite you to come to the podium. Please state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you'll have 3 minutes. And I believe there's a clock up here that will let you know what your time is.
And Madam Chair, as he's coming up, I just want to make note that we did receive an email via public comment previously this afternoon.
We did get one?
Yeah, from Rockwell.
All right, and that will be a part of the public record?
Yes, it's already been put into the record.
Thank you.
I'm Calmar Robbins. I actually live in Mill Creek, but I am that larger piece that shows to the north. It's a five acres to... to the zoning. Sorry. The one thing that I want to mention, I have been in the two city council meetings about 1055, and because we are being impacted by it, it is going to be a residential road that meets the normal standards of South Jordan, and I know that our piece actually is going to be impacted the most because we do have an elevation change when it hits our piece where we're about 5 feet lower than the roadway will be. So, hey, that was done because of safety, and I'm all in favor of that. The one thing that I want to support the guy in is that is a very steep hill that he's dealing with there. You don't see that. People can say different things, but that was steep. I happened to be in a meeting a week ago where somebody said that the property to the north, which was under site plan approval as well as zoning change, that said, oh, it drops off. And actually on our piece where that is, it's just a nice, gentle grow. It was a flow that was the hill that was there, it always disturbed me a little bit that somebody really didn't understand what was being explained to the city council, and public hearing had ended at that point, so I couldn't really give some input to it. So I'm grateful that they are improving 1055. I do think that is crucial to what is going to happen in the future. And I appreciate your willingness to be real patient with this process that's going on. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this issue tonight?
My name is Kenyon Clark. I own the property just to the south of this property. I'm very concerned about the road change. I need to know where the road is going to be improved and when it stops. If it is improved on my property, I will lose all my garden area, and all I'll have left is a steep hill left, and it will destroy some of the things that I moved here for. So I need to know exactly where the road will end. Is it going to go all the way to the end of the dead end? I don't know whether you people are aware, but it's a dead end. There's one way in, there's one way out, and that's it. And if this property goes through, there's going to be a dangerous area because of one way in, one way out, whether we improve the road or not. If we actually put a sidewalk and create more space needed on both sides, east and west, we're going to go over the top of the Beckstead Ditch. I'm also appalled that we have taken the historical representation of the Pony Express Road off, which is a stroke of the pen. I don't understand it. There was not any public voice on this. Nobody was asked. It was just done. And I'm upset about it, and I think it's terrible. I've been a South Jordan resident for 28 years, and I've never seen anything like this in my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this issue that's joined us in person?
I'm Travis Hyatt. I'm at 10855 South Country Creek Drive. So my property, the east end of my property, backs up to this proposed development. I have a couple of things that I wanted to mention. First of all, the multiple forms of pollution. Light pollution was the one that we noticed initially. They took down a bunch of trees on the east side as it faces the mountains. And so now we can clearly see from the back of the house, the office building that's down the hill, all the way to I-15. We used to have a nice tree line that met the mountains. And so we moved in not quite 2 years ago, and that view was one of the most important reasons that we bought that property. So that view it's been obliterated. The other one is noise pollution. And I'm not even talking about proposed construction noise pollution. I'm talking about what I can now hear when I step out the back door is I-15. We used to live in Draper. We specifically moved from Draper to South Jordan to avoid the hustle and bustle of 123rd and 7th East and I-15. So what's amazing is when they eliminated those trees that were at the bottom of that property, we increased noise pollution or light pollution and noise pollution dramatically. I can now hear I-15, the constant lull of I-15, where I couldn't before. We spoke a little bit about the irrigation. Currently, there's 14 properties that are using, have used to, or have rights to that irrigation. And so I'm glad you brought that up because we are concerned about that. Along with the irrigation, there's also that natural spring that existed where the trees have been taken out. It's hard for me to imagine that by removing all those trees, we haven't disrupted that spring somehow. And, you know, now we're creating potential erosion and all the things that come along with that. So we're not super stoked on that. Another issue is property value. There's no way that anybody can convince me that by ruining the perfect view that we had and by putting this project up didn't affect the property value. So I'll just say that flat out. I'm sure it diminished my property value and everybody else that looks east onto that proposed property. And then the last thing, but certainly not least, we're worried about the safety of all pedestrians, but really the school kids. What kind of plans are going to be put in place to have crossing guards, crosswalks, and has already been stated that's a dead end road. And so we're almost automatically doubling the amount of traffic that's going to take place in that area. And so we would like to know what kind of safety precautions are going to be put in place, specifically for pedestrians, but most importantly for the kids. Thanks.
Is there anyone else in the auditorium that would like to speak on this item tonight?
I'm Melanie Hyatt. I live at 10855 South Country Creek Drive in South Jordan. I am Travis's wife. I had no intention on speaking tonight, but I want to express my appall with Mr. Clark as well on the removal of the historical road at Cemetery Road. And I want to comment on a couple things that you're saying. The concept is unusual because in putting this in, it's going to completely change the landscape of this area. It's going to completely change how it looks. You've got, when we bought our house, we had cows and horses in our backyard with this row of trees. And now they're completely gone. And we're not only getting, you know, numerous homes, but again, you're doubling your traffic. You're eliminating people's water rights. You're changing the entire scope of the street that has been that way, like you said, since the pioneers did it, which is why it looks like the pioneers did it, because they're, I'm pretty sure they're the people that settled the area, which is what we're supposed to be honoring and respecting. So I agree with Mr. Clark. I'm totally appalled. Yeah, the driveway that you see on the picture that's unusual is going to become my backyard. This weird, wrappy thing, it is because it's weird. It's not appealing. It's not really feasible. Again, the grade is incredibly steep. It's just not something any of us want to look at. I would also like to comment that I'm sure we can get other neighbors in the area that are out of town, several travel for work that are not here this evening, but I can tell you the overwhelming response of the neighborhood is that they do not want this. And again, speaking to the dead end road and it being one way in and out, again, it is, I know you're already talking about curbing and those sorts of things, but again, you're adding enormous amounts of traffic and enormous amounts of homes and enormous amounts of people to a very small, again, historic, should have remained historic road that's now going to be infringed upon, as well as the owners that live down there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hyatt. Is there anyone else that would like to speak before we go to our online platform?
Can I bring up one more thing? I know it's unusual, but
we'll have to have a motion to do that. Let's let everybody else have a turn, and then we'll entertain that possibly. Is there anyone else? All right, could we get our online platform? Has anybody joined us online that would like to speak to this issue? If you would, we ask that you turn on your camera and your audio and give us a wave. Mr. Burke, you've got the floor. Once you're unmuted.
I found the mic. Yes, again, I mean, I was the other night, 1 week ago, in referencing to the RISE development. But what they have just brought up again is that this is going to increase traffic down the cemetery road. And I appreciate the fact that in the small part, that development has suggested they're going to be fairly large lots, not a duplex or townhouse development. But at the same time, it's going to change the road as what the town council has already decided they were going to do in reference to the RISE development. And I can't see that it would stop short of this development that's being talked about tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burke. Oh, thank you, Mr. Burke. Is there anyone else on our online platform that joined us online that would like to speak to the commission? Again, just turn on your camera and you can give us a physical wave. Okay, before I close public comment, there was an indication from Mr. Clark that he had something to add. I would need a motion to modify our rules for this evening to do that. Do I have a motion, or do we have discussion on that possibility?
I'm fine with a motion. Just make sure it's germane to the rezone application. And I think before we have that motion, to be clear, that we as a planning commission are not a elected body to make policy decisions, including the designation of a historic road. And so as long as it's germane to the rezone of things that are under our purview,
I agree.
I would be open to that. And so based on that comment I just made, I would move to amend our rules to allow any other person in the chamber who has already testified to have 1 minute of additional comment.
I can second that. All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Aye.
Okay. If you've already spoken but have something to add, you are invited to come to the podium and we'll allow an additional minute.
Thank you. I apologize. I'm very emotional about that issue because of the great city of South Jordan. Has been my home for that long. And We moved here from West Valley, and the reason we moved from here from West Valley is because of the high-density housing and the issues that it caused. What came to my mind after I left the podium last time was, I don't know whether you're aware or not, but there's a lot of water issues coming from Beckstead Estates. You're probably aware that there is springs and water, underground water, that is running there constantly, and that the water has been running through this property, the proposed property, continually. I'm very concerned if this subdivision is not dealt with correctly, that it will cause me issues, because as soon as they change the elevation in this property, it could cause it to run into our neighbors or into my property. There has been tons of dirt hauled in already, and I'm assuming that it's to cover the high water table, and I don't think that's been appropriate at all. Thank you.
Can you restate your name for the record?
Yes, please.
Pardon?
Can you restate?
Oh, Kenyon Clark.
Thank you.
And I live on 10875 South, which is Rivercrest Circle, 1080 Rivercrest Circle.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address the commission this evening? I want to make sure everybody gets a chance. If you've come out this evening, we know it's a long night. Please. And she's got 3 minutes. She hasn't addressed us.
So my name's Liz Bean. I live at 10829 South Country Creek Drive, which is directly behind the property next door to the Hyatts. I had a question, and I don't know to address. The road that comes up that hill will be directly into my backyard. So any traffic that comes up that hill is going to have headlights around the corner, right into my bedroom and right into the lower floor of my house. So I was just kind of wondering how that would be addressed if that house was built there. I also have a question about the property. If you look at the map of that property, can you put that up there? There's a little sliver of land right behind there that's like 25 feet. What is that and what's it designated for? And that's all I had. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to, please?
Good evening. My name is Neil Smith. I live on Rivercrest Circle. Could you put up the plot plan again, please? I live just right at the bottom, that bottom lot next to Mr. Clark's, and past him to the north is the property in question. The question that I have is, we're talking about three parcels here, one of them being on the west side of 1055. And my question is, are the two parcels to the south of that parcel, and then the one of them touches Mr. Clark's lot, are those presently zoned according to in the same zone that the other parcel is now being proposed for? It seems almost impossible. I've lived here 35 years, there 35 years, and that has all been one big field owned by one family. And I just want to be sure, because it seemed to me when I saw, by the way, I didn't get notification of this for this meeting or the one in 2 weeks, so I don't know what happened there, but it seems impossible that those two parcels to the south are not zoned presently the same as the one that is being proposed for rezoning. So my question is, are we absolutely certain that those two parcels to the south don't need to be rezoned? Because when I looked at my neighbor's map, like I say again, I didn't get one, but I thought immediately only half of the appropriate property has been identified here for people to look at and potentially make comment.
Thank you. We'll get those questions answered.
Thank you.
Sure. Oh, you're the applicant. Do you
I'm not.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm not the applicant. Devin Hatch is the applicant. Yeah. So, my name is Jared Osman. On the map, if you can show that again, I am planning on building my house on the other one that shows a subdivision. There it is, that bigger lot. That'll be me. So I understand change is hard. My life's been filled with change over the past couple of years, going through a divorce and trying to relocate and find something great. We want to be great neighbors. I'm a general contractor. I'll build my house, and we have every intention of doing the right thing. I know that it sounds like the neighbors would have preferred we just bought the lot and just not torn trees down, and I totally get that. I understand. Change is hard, and I'm not minimizing that at all. Please don't. I'm not trying to minimize how you feel. I just want you to know we want to be good neighbors. We're going to live here. I'm going to live here. This is where my family's going to live. Even that little driveway, it looks like it's daunting and big. We've tried to work with the city. Mr. Hatch has, I just want to build my house here, but to create something that, addresses the slope coming up, something that is appropriate with the fire turnaround the way that it is. We want to minimize any kind of light problems. We're happy to work with the city and the neighbors to do that, build the right fences, whatever we need to do. We proposed, as I spoke to Mr. Hatch about his subdivision and my desire to build here, to do bigger lots for just that reason, so that it was still appropriate, we think it's appropriate, by building bigger homes here, houses that'll make sense, we think, for this beautiful area. We want to add to it, not take away from it. So our hope is to work with the city, even the road layout, the way you see it. I've watched Mr. Hatch work with the city and city staff to figure out what's required, and we're happy to do what's required. And we've been trying to get this to that point. We're aware of the water table issues, and we are working with engineers to make sure that we're not upsetting the water table issues or diverting water where it shouldn't go, and we're retaining any water on site into the proper storage or the proper ways of handling that. So anyway, I think we'll be a great addition to the neighborhood. I'm excited to build my house, and I hope to mend fences, with neighbors that have current issues with me building my house there. So that's my future plan, but I wanted to at least get up there and address the fact that we're happy to work with our neighbors to make it a good thing. And anyway, there you go.
Thank you, Mr. Austin. Okay, is there anybody else that would like to address the commission? All right, I'm going to close public comment on this item and bring it back to the commission. First, we'll go through and try to get some questions answered that came up during public comment. Can we talk about the road again, Jeremy? Can you help us understand in an application like this where the road would have to be upgraded, where it would be changed, and where it would not be required at this time?
So as part of this application, we'd require the applicant to make the frontage improvements, adjacent to their property, as shown on this concept. But then north of that, at this point in time, there wouldn't be any change to the road. The city does have plans in the near future to replace the water line along 1055 West, and we're hoping that possibly in conjunction with doing that water line that we can make some improvements on 1055, but all of this is at a very early stage of planning, so we don't have any concrete plans at this point, when that road would be finished with sidewalk.
So, Jeremy, if this concept were to move forward as it is, can you confirm that the road... if this concept plan were adopted, would end mid this property and turn in? They wouldn't do any additional improvements further south?
Right, and actually further south, it's a private lane.
Right.
It's not even city right-of-way.
Okay.
And so you can kind of see the way they've proposed this concept is it kind of shows a private lane I don't know how to describe that, coming just south on 1055 West, you can see a knuckle there, and there's a private drive there where the private lane would continue to the south. And so you know, the concern about possibly widening to the south of this development, at this point in time, there's no thoughts of doing that because the city doesn't own any right-of-way, any public right-of-way through there.
If you look at this map, you can see a little white line that goes across. That's a property line on 1055 West there. South of it is private. North of it is public.
Okay.
So that's why there's no improvements being shown.
Beyond that. Okay. Beyond that.
And one more thing to consider is for the city, this would be a benefit to the snowplow drivers. Currently, the snowplows go down that 1055 West, and there's no turnaround. There's been incidents where they've damaged private property because there's no way for them to turn around. And so they're using driveways and other things. And so ending this public road with a cul-de-sac would benefit. You know, there's some benefits there for the city.
But that cul-de-sac would be entirely on these properties that we're discussing tonight. It would not extend onto any other property.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there would be the private lane that continues on to the south, but the city doesn't maintain that.
Okay.
That cul-de-sac would be, right now it's just a concept, right? It's not,
right?
Because this is just a rezone. It would only be in a subdivision.
Yeah, it'd be more.
That decision would actually be made and.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. And, good clarification.
And on that, if it was, how many average car trips per household would are on average for a development this size? Is it, you know, 6 trips a day, 8 trips a day? What do you guys typically use in your city metrics?
On the average, it's 10 trips for a single family home. So six
to 8 homes. Okay.
60 trips per day, which sounds like a lot, but in the What we really watch is the PM peak, the peak hour. That'd be adding six cars to the peak hour. Currently, that road has about 34 trips in the peak hour, and so it'd go up to 40 trips in the peak hour.
And just because we've referenced the Rise development to the north, and they provided a traffic study, which Commissioner Bevins mentioned earlier in her remarks, would that have 1055 West load, and of course the traffic signals at South Jordan Parkway, be impacted at all negatively?
It would add more traffic. Yeah, it would add more traffic, but it would not. And keep in mind, it would definitely. You'll see more traffic on the road with the Rise development. You'll see more traffic with this development. But from
the city's road
capacity standard, it will still be a safe road. It'll have more traffic, but it's not exceeding any of our thresholds.
Can I just add that traffic impact study is part of the city council packet available on the city website. If you go to the city council page and go to the packet for last city council meeting, that traffic study is included in that, and it's public record. Anyone can access it.
All right, the next item that came up was the historical designation, but as Commissioner Gedge indicated, that is not anything that we have control over or say in. So I would recommend that you talk to somebody at staff or potentially your city council member if you need more clarification on that particular item. The issue of light pollution, noise, irrigation came up. So Jeremy, I think this is going to be you. What is required when things go in as far as protecting adjacent neighbors from light and noise, and then what recourses do neighbors have if they feel like it's excessive or not within those standards?
Greg, I don't know. On light pollution, I know there's photogrammic studies we do.
Light and noise, really, there's not. It's got to be something that's happening on the property that's causing it. I mean, so if they build a house there and they have bright lights in their backyard and they're shining on the neighbors, that was something that we can't do anything about when they cut down a tree and there's noise and light, you know, a mm-hmm. mile away. That's.
What about private lanes and cars?
private lanes and cars.
Is there anything that can be done about considering where it turns?
If it comes up the way it is, and if it's going to shine in their backyard, I think the lane, I don't know the layout exactly, but it all should be dealt with at the at subdivision. Something okay. We can do it here. But if it turns out that it's for some reason that lane is going to be higher in elevation than the property, as I think as they develop, they're going to want probably put a fence of some sort along that side. I think I don't know if it's the applicant or the other gentleman that's going to build one of the lots stated that there'll probably be a fence along there. And so if the lane is lower in elevation and you have a fence, it's unlikely that any lights are going to shine through the fence. Sure. So
I think you just said it right, though, that a lot of these issues are ones that are addressed in subdivision, and that does come back before this body. Is that correct?
Yeah, when there is a subdivision after it's rezoned, the developers will have to file for a preliminary subdivision plat, and that will come back to the Planning Commission for the approval and review.
Commissioner Gedge already kind of asked this one in the early questions, but irrigation rights remain, water rights remain. This doesn't take anyone's water rights away, correct?
Yeah. If there's any ditches or anything that traverse the property, they'll need to work with the ditch master to make sure that water continues to flow.
Okay. Any comments on what the city does to ensure safety for pedestrians? I think this goes to our conversation about what a standard road is and having sidewalk.
Yeah. I think as much as practical, we try to accommodate pedestrians in the sidewalk, understanding that this will take a little bit of time to rectify.
Okay. I may not have understood the comment completely correctly, but to confirm that the private road is completely on this applicant's property and not in somebody else's backyard, the private road will be completely on Mr. Hatch's...
Oh, that driveway?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, based on that concept plan, it is contained completely within
his
property.
And it couldn't legally extend onto somebody else's property? There's not a right-of-way granted or...
Not that I'm aware of. There's no easements or anything that are shown that we've seen.
All right. Back to the traffic. Could you tell us what the grade is for that road? It's probably in the traffic study.
The grade of 1055 West?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the grade of 1055 West. We don't have profiles done on the road yet, but that's definitely something we'll be looking into as we design, as we look at the design on 1055. Typically, our roads don't exceed 8% in grade is kind of our limit. In some cases, they're a little bit steeper than that, but 8% is about the maximum.
I meant the traffic grade. I'm rating. So sorry. The rating. Sorry. You give it an ABC, and so I call it a grade.
Oh, level of service. I'm sorry. Level traffic
service,
volumes. Okay.
The grading's
yeah,
important,
too. Yeah, I was like, boy, I don't have that detail.
Every time, Jerry. Got to know it all.
Traffic volumes. We did counts out there about, I think, a month and a half ago. During the PM peak, there's 34 vehicles during that PM peak hour, and that was counted up near the cemetery, and so that's probably the most. Once you get down here to the south, I'm sure it's much less than that. And then, as I indicated, anticipating that this will add another 6 trips to the peak hour.
Okay. Could you talk about the type of review and requirements that engineering looks at on a subdevelopment? I think with respect to water, groundwater levels, that sort of thing, what type of due diligence is done?
All the subdivisions need to provide a geotechnical study where they go out and they bore into the ground and determine water table levels. Usually they bore in a couple of different locations. And then based upon that, they make recommendations for any additional drains that should be put in. Whether the site can have basements, road sections, thickness of road, those kind of things.
Okay, and those are generally then requirements that the subdivision has to comply with?
Yeah. Geotechnical studies are part of the requirements.
Okay.
Oh, would you bring the maps back up? There was a question about the sliver of land. I think this is something that we were confused about at the beginning of the meeting as well. I think that two different pictures are showing two different things. Would you mind standing up, Andrew, and pointing physically to all the pieces of land that are going to be in the six homes that we've seen in the concept plan?
It's gone.
Okay.
Yes, draw it, and then it can be a part of the record. That makes sense.
I like it.
We haven't used this feature in a little while. Got to give it some exercise. No. If you really are marking that, then we've got to start all over. Andrew, you're fired.
Disregard. As well, this is new.
I'm going to be using it every time now.
If I understand the comment correctly in relation to the sliver being this tiny one to the west.
Yes,
as you see before you, this is the current zoning designations for the property, and this is available to the public right now through our GIS map, links through the planning department available to the site. The properties in question to this specific application that we're discussing are what are bolded in red for those specific parcels. But the parcels that are also included for the concept plan that has been presented tonight.
Outline that.
Are the three...
you can draw on them.
These three that are currently R1.8, the zoning designation we're bringing before you tonight to bring this one involved, which would also carry this R1.8 to these two as well. And kind of going off of that concept plan, it would be these four combined into those six lot layout, they would become one.
Okay, and so this concept plan covers what you just outlined, but the rezone covers the dark green ones that have a bright red line around them.
Because we're split between two different zones to become consistent with that development being one property, in a sense, we need to bring this into more consistency with that rezone.
So a resident asked, it was Mr. Smith, why do these have different zones? He's under the impression that they've always been owned by the same property owner. Can you comment on that?
We did look into the map records that we have for this particular area of the city when this application came in. And what you see before you is generally how these properties have been set up for quite some time, going back a couple decades as well, with what maps that we are able to pull record of these three already being in the R1.8 and then this one being separate. So I can't say as to how things have happened over time, possible missight on the area, which we would be correcting for the application to be more consistent with what's being proposed and that whole residential intent for that area.
Okay. Can you comment on notifications? And that might be a Greg question. Did notifications go out to everybody within what?
They go out to everyone within 300 feet of the what's being rezoned. So I'm pretty sure, I can't remember his name, but the second gentleman said he did not get a rezone. He's more than 300 feet away from that, the agriculturally zoned property.
Okay. So. But when this comes back with a subdivision on it, he would get notified potentially because he's...
Yes, because it'd be within 300 feet of the entire subdivision. Then
okay.
And just to add to that, that's 300 feet within the parcel line of that boundary, and it just goes 300 feet out of that radius. So if a teeny little corner of their property falls within that boundary, they would have been notified. So if they didn't receive them, then the software didn't generate them as being one of those recipients.
Okay. Okay. All right. Did we cover all the questions that came up, commissioners? Okay. Nobody caught anything else?
All right, thank you, Andrew.
Madam Chair, I
think there was conversations around Home Guy.
Yes. I think this is going to be a Mr. Simonson question. Could you please, we're often brought concerns, and you know the legal verbiage, but we're required to receive information and, boy, I'm botching this. You say it so much better. But when concerns come up, like home values and whatnot, what type of
substantiation
is required for us to be able to rule on an issue like that?
The issue of property values is, of course, of great concern for everybody that owns their property. But in order to really consider it, you need a professional appraisal. You need somebody to really say this is the what the property was before, and this is what it will be after, and this is my expertise. But I don't even know that we get there with this one. I hate it when my neighbor cuts down their trees. But there's no ordinance against that. They have the right. They own the property. There's only so much control that we exercise over a neighboring property. And I'm really sorry when views change and so forth. And then Mr. Rockwell in his written comment today talked about the wildlife that's there. And it's hard to see that go. But unless we want to buy the property and compensate the property owners for it, they have a constitutional right to use their property. And there's really nothing we can do, you know, without actually buying the property or compensating them for its value.
Okay. Commissioners, further questions for staff or for the applicant? Do we need anything clarified? I'll go ahead and start this evening then. I'm going to channel Julie Holbrook for a minute, who you know. Do you actually know who that is? Oh, he replaced her on the commission, and only Sean could have appreciated this.
Well, she was my former neighbor, too.
Right, Commissioner Morrissey. I initially reading this and looking at this, she was in my head saying, we only have so many economic infill opportunities, and so she was always very reluctant to override those. But, Andrew, thank you for coming prepared to explain the history on that and explaining the ownership and where it should have been. That helped me resolve that issue just right up front. So that was very appreciated. I appreciate the detail that goes into the staff reports. As far as what could potentially come to this area and what is currently in that area, I'm having driven through it because we've had so many applications in this area, I feel like this is a relatively friendly change. I appreciate that the zoning isn't more dense than what's around it, that it provides an opportunity for some additional homes that look like they'll match the existing character of what's in that area. I appreciate that the staff and applicant were ready to answer the questions about the unusual road layout, and understand that now that it's a difficult piece of land, and I'm always interested to see the solutions that can come with that so that the land can still be usable and accessed. So those are my comments on this. Let's start down here this week.
I echo pretty much everything you said. I just want to add, I appreciate all the comments that have been made tonight from the residents surrounding and the property owners. We, as a commission, always appreciate when owners and applicants come in and they're willing to work with neighbors and have those conversations and make some of those compromises. And it sounds like you guys are more than willing to put in the work and effort to be good neighbors and to participate in the process. So thank you for all of your participation tonight.
I don't think I have much to add to that, the previous two comments, but I would like to echo our chair's comments about gratitude for staff and all their effort, not just tonight, but every week or every time we meet being prepared to answer our questions. So I really appreciate that.
So I look at when we do a rezone, I try to go back to the general plan. That is something that gets updated every 10 years. And, you know, and so as I look at the guidance that it provides there, it says any new development, redevelopment, or rezoning within this stable neighborhood designation shall be consistent with the surrounding land uses in order to maintain existing character and quality of life for adjacent property owners. And I realize that all change is hard when you're right next to it. As a planning commission, as I look at the general plan, I zoom out and I see the it's a good sized swath, at least a half quarter, like a third mile by a quarter mile or something, of 1.8s around this property. And so I feel like that's, I feel like this application is compatible with that. A lot of the issues that were brought up today, thank you for coming. Most of those are for that subdivision time, and that's when we can, when evidence can be taken and when decisions are made about actually what goes there. And so I would encourage those that have come, like, continue this process, get evidence, get facts, get it from authoritative sources, and engage with your representatives and others. Don't wait for that two-week notice to come. And that's how you can continue to have your voice made in this iterative, what feels like it goes through many different bodies, but that's by design. And so thank you for coming out. I'm inclined to recommend approval of the rezone, given that I feel like it's consistent with the surrounding land uses.
Save me for last, right?
Always.
Oh, always. Thank you. Since this is my district, actually. So
all right.
I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight, staff, for your hard work on this. I think I've said it before, since we've seen a lot of properties in this general area, that I was actually born on 1055 West when it was, South Jordan had less than 2,000 residents. I won't date myself how old, long ago that was, but, you know, change is hard. And I echo Commissioner Catmull that I think when, if this, you know, does pass by the city council, I'm going to be a lot more probably stricter during the site plan process just to make sure that the existing residents are protected. You guys, I believe, raised a lot of concerns. I know in speaking to our city council representatives, they read every single minute, listen to the transcripts of these meetings, and we'll take those into heart. And, you know, I believe this is going to be on the council agenda probably in 2 weeks. I believe it was mentioned earlier that they were noted. Is that correct? Or, sorry, next week, the next council agenda.
There was a comment about notation, notifying.
Make sure you know that you vocalize your concerns as well, but they will protect you as well. But I'm in favor of both proposals that we have here this evening, just because, again, as Commissioner Catmull said, you know, it fits the what we have previously approved and what has been there for a couple of decades as well. Also, these larger homes protect kind of a little bit of the agricultural rural feel of South Jordan, which hopefully is why all of us live here, is why we wanted to be here and protects that a little bit. And I also want to commend the applicant. You know, looks like, you know, they're wanting to build it for their own personal use and be large enough to maintain their agricultural rights, which I think is really important in this area. So I'm in full support of recommending this to the council for both proposals this evening.
Building on something you just said, Andrew, I don't know if you're going to be the one over this subdivision when it finally comes, but we are going to remember these concerns, so be ready to address them.
I can't say if I will or not, but what's been said tonight will be kept in mind for...
Pass it around to the other planners, especially that new one. We're going to make him draw on the board. He's better be ready. All right.
I can confirm he will be the one that...
All right, Andrew. Be ready. We're going to ask all of them, and I'm going to ask you about grading, so... All right. I'm ready for motion, then.
I would, real quick, I'll make the motion, but I would just like to encourage everybody who is here, if you are here as a resident surrounding this, to contact the property owners and work with them. It's always so much smoother if we've had conversations between the parties rather than stuff coming up in meetings. I think they're more than willing to work and compromise, so I would encourage that communication. Based on findings in this report, I move that the Planning Commission forward a recommendation to the City Council to approve the Land Use Amendment Resolution R2023-08 and Rezone Ordinance Number 2023-02-Z.
Okay, we have a motion. Just a reminder that we are a recommending body. We are not the final decision on this. We are just passing a recommendation to City Council. Do we have any other converse or discussion on the motion? Okay, then I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
And Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
Okay, we will pass to City Council a positive recommendation for this motion this evening. We encourage you to participate in that hearing as well so that City Council can hear your concerns. But we have heard them, and I'm certain that they will come up again when we see this subdivision in the future. With that, that concludes our official business. Staff, do you have any additional business for us this evening?
No, I don't think we do.
Can I ask a couple questions of staff? There was a large press announcement last Tuesday, a week ago today. Will any part of that be for the Planning Commission, or because it's a Daybreak property, you're the Daybreak expert, Greg? The ballpark, what will we see with the ballpark, if at all?
Actually, you probably will not, unless you might. If they you'll see a subdivision if it comes through. If they subdivide a lot off, you'll see that. But the site plan is not reviewed by Planning Commission.
So you're not going to get your plaque.
So I'm not going to get. I'm not going to get her name on the sign that basically says Planning Commission, right?
We were going to make it a condition.
But we were put a condition on that we had to have our names.
I'll be reviewing it, and I won't get my name on the plaque either.
We'll bring it before us, and we'll put your name on
it. I didn't get my name on this building either. And I'm the only one left here that was around.
I see your plaque right in front of you. It just moves.
Also, are there any updates on, I guess, the Kennecott annexation? Or will that most likely be with our joint?
I think there'll be some things for you to do with the annexation after, because there'll be the rezoning of the property and so forth. So you'll get, I don't have any more information about when all that's going to happen, though. Okay. So.
It's 3 weeks out, but what's our next meeting looking like?
I did not look at it today, but I'm pretty sure I'll have another item. The item that'll be coming forward will be on the ARC meeting tomorrow morning. Okay. So it's for a new business on Redwood Road at about 115 South, just south of the Unique Auto Body. Mm-hmm. They also own property on the other side of Andover Road there. They're selling it to another business owner. It's called Shoppe. Shoppe. They design furnace, air and ducting for for homes and businesses, and so it's sort of a semi-industrial business, but it fits in the zone. There's some. It's not really a manufacturing, but they do some assembly of the ductwork before they take it out and install it and so forth. So and it's. I think it's a nice looking building, and Laurel will be able to go ahead and let you know how it looks at the meeting. So,
sounds good. All right.
I know that's probably that one item. I don't know if there may be more. So.
And you'll be bringing Valentine's for all of us.
It's true. It is the 14th, isn't it? So maybe we can figure something out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much. If that's it, then I move that we adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you second that?